Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
I try to flow in the Holy Spirit, and sometimes you do and sometimes you don't when you think you are. But we had a really fun message this morning about the Father, and I really feel like I'm not supposed to do that one in this session. So if you missed it, you can get it. And we're going to do some stuff this afternoon, too. I almost said tonight. But I really feel like there's something else I'm supposed to shift to for this group. So here we go. Do you know what faith, you know how you spell faith? R-I-S-K, risk. So here we go. During worship, I saw a picture of dried fruit. I'm like, what are you trying to tell me? Dried fruit, it's still edible. It still gives us nutrients. But there's a difference between a juicy live fruit and a dried fruit. And I felt like the Lord is saying that there are some of you in here that are pretty dried up. That you know God is good, but you're struggling to see his goodness in your situation. Okay, now if you don't know who I am real. Okay, so if you want to get something out of this, you need to be real too. This is not the time to hide how you feel. This is the time to say, ow, that's me. Okay? There are other sermons I preach where I actually talk about, sometimes you hear so many testimonies of things happening, and it, you know, in the very thing you need, and testimonies are a weapon of warfare, yes, but sometimes it gets to the point where testimonies hurt your heart. You ever had that? I have. That's going to be real. Well, is that godly? No, but it's real, right? And I feel like what the Lord wants to do today, and as we start, is I hear, as I was asking him, I sensed you might feel worn out, disempowered in the season you're in, kind of like you're slogging through, and maybe some of you are even feeling like he's abandoned you in this place. And what did I say? There's isolation, rejection, a sense of being left out of his promises. You can see his goodness in other people's life, but you can't sense it or taste it in your own. If any of those made sense to you, I want you to stand up and we're going to pray. And I know it takes bravery. Because, you know, we're supposed to come to church with our good faces. I'm fine. I'm awesome. And my husband would say, is that blood coming out your ears? Yeah. But you know what? Some days we get discouraged. Doesn't mean we don't love God. Doesn't mean we don't actually know he'll come through. But there's sometimes we are faced with the Goliaths in our lives. And he continues to harass us. And sometimes we just need to know we're not alone. So what I want you to do is I just want you, if you're standing right now, I want you to put your hands up, one hand up high. And I want the church to get around you. And when at least three people are around you, you can put your hand down. But don't put your hand down until three people are, and as soon as you get three people, put your hand down. So we can make sure we need some over here, right? We need a couple more people over here. One in the middle. I want some over here. Make sure there's three people. Oh, one way back there. Now, you might need to have your hands on two different people. That's okay, right? Okay. Why do we do this? It is proof you are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. And I want you to say, Jesus, thank you that I'm not alone. Wow. I hand to you, Jesus, discouragement. Wow. I hand to you isolation and rejection. And I hand to you the weight that has landed on me in this situation. And today I let it go. Wow. Now, if you're praying for them, I want you to kind of with your hands, I want you just to kind of like lift it off prophetically. You're just lifting off the discouragement. Wow. You're lifting off the weight. And then I want you to open your eyes and I want you to see that you're not alone. You know, the people that are praying for you right now, you might never see again. That's not the point. The point is, I am not alone. That there's more than me in this battle. And then I just say, I want you to say, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you reignite my spirit? Wow. Put your hand on your head if you were the one standing and just say, brain, you are overworking. Say, brain, it's okay if you can't figure it out. Thank you, brain, for taking thoughts captive. Put your hand on your belly and say, spirit, rise up. Wow. Wow. Some of us feel the way we do because our brain is trying to do our spirit's job. Your brain cannot cast out a demon. Your spirit has to rise up. So if you're praying for them, if their hand's on their belly, put your hand on their hand and say, come, Holy Spirit. We say, rise up, rise up, rise up. Wow. You're not meant to do this in your strength. You're meant to do it in His. So I break off defeatism. And we just admit, we can't do it by ourselves. That's why you're here. That's why we tuck up under your wing. Last night, the Lord had me wake up and read Psalms. You guys can sit back around. And I was, one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 91, but I started reading Psalm 1, which I love. I love Psalm 2. I love both of those. And then I thought, the Lord's like, read Psalm 91. Yeah. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my strength, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers me from the snare of the trap. I just break off of you the lie that you have to get out of the snapper, sir. He is the one who delivers you from the snare. I mean, we need to not be stupid. Like, oh, there's some sin. Let's just go do that. Oh, you're supposed to protect me. No, just take your hand back. Let go. Just slap yourself, okay? We're not meant to do this alone. We're not meant to do it alone in isolation. We're not meant to do it alone without Him. Do you know when 2020 hit and the whole world shut down? I mean, I was traveling over half the year. I don't know how Corey did it, because I traveled 186 days in a year, and I was like, and I just sat on the couch. And for a while, we just caught up on all the Netflix and all the stuff. It didn't take long because we can't watch most of that. It's like we're getting younger and younger movies because we're like, I can't watch that, I can't watch that. So we ended up watching Animal Kingdom. Do you know the animal that always got eaten was the one separate from the herd? The enemy wants you to think, I can't go to church because I'm in this struggle and everyone else is doing great. That's a lie of the enemy. The enemy wants you separated from the herd. He wants you weak. He wants you crippled. Oh, I can't go. Do you know what it's like to limp at Bethel Church? I work really hard to not limp with my knee because everybody runs up and prays for you. And then they're like, isn't it healed? Isn't it healed? And you're like, I'm sorry. It still hurts. And so it's, sometimes it's like, just don't go. Wow. Wow. And you can hear the enemy. He's about to eat you because he's separating you from the hurt. But I can't be real at church. I have to smile. Well, smile and be real. There is such a thing as boundaries. You know, only share what the Lord just needs you to share. Right? But stop putting your perfect face on for church. You weren't meant to do this alone. I don't know how to segue into the message, but here we go. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. I'll read it out of mine. Can't see that. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Part of coming back to the herd is to recharge your lamp. Some of us are like, well, my light's not shining very much. Get to the herd. Get to the people of God. And get to the Father, get to Jesus, and get to the Holy Spirit. Because you are the beacon in this world. To be honest, how many of you are a little discouraged about the weirdness in the world today? I am. I'm 61. I never thought we'd be dealing with what we deal with today. You know, I always heard from my parents, well, in my day. And I thought, I'll never say that when I grow up. In my day, you were born male or female. See, I can say this because pastor can clean up my mess. In my day, there's a lot of things I could say. The polarization right now in the world is absolutely bizarre. It's not just that we have a different opinion. We actually can't stand people with the other opinion. To the point that I have friends who can't see their grandbabies because they didn't take the COVID shot. I can feel I'm stepping on toes. Just curl them back. It's okay. I have friends that can't see their grandbabies because they voted for the wrong president. Who does the enemy eat? The one isolated from the herd. See, this polarization is trying to isolate you, trying to put you in this. And you know what's happening as a church? We're not allowed to speak out what the Bible says. It's like, I'm not saying this is my opinion. This is what the word says. But they're like, sit down, shut up. You're a bigot. I'm actually just saying what the word says. And we get tired of getting harassed. We get tired of being told, sit down and shut up. And so we have grown quiet. And we've let the world dictate to our children what they're allowed to do. Oh, it got really quiet. But we are not to hide our light from the world. Do you know what? Really bright light in darkness hurts your eyes. Your light should hurt the enemy's eyes. Did she just say that? I did. I'm trying to tie everything together that I'm getting all this information, so we'll just see. In 2022, the Lord told me it was the year of the power of peace. And then we see the world has gone bonkers. I'm like, wow. And I think about in that word, the power of peace, and I'm like, okay, Lord, the power of peace, the power of peace. And you think, peace, peace, and how is peace powerful? And then I had a sozo the next day. I love how God does this. He talks to me, and then he shows me something just the next day. So I'm praying for a woman who has chaos in her home. And she's like, I have chaos in my home. I'm frustrated with my kids. I'm always trying to rush around. And I hear in my head, generational. And I'm like, is this generational? She goes, oh, yeah. My mom, there was so much chaos in her home. Well, it's a whole nother sermon, but just pause for a second. When you grow up with a normal atmosphere, whether you like it or not, you begin to resonate with that atmosphere. And if you don't bring it to the Lord for breakthrough, you will recreate it because it is your normal. You might not like it, but it's normal. And you're like, why is it always like this? We had a really cute little counselor, and she was the cutest thing. But every time we prayed for her, her family was in a mess. You know, she's single, but she's okay, but her family's a mess. And I'm thinking, why is there so much chaos in her family when she seems so cool, you know, so fine? I'm like, okay, you know, her background. But I swear, every time she would run into the office, she'd be just in time, and she'd run, okay, I'm right in time. Oh, I'll talk to you later. No. And I realized after a while, it's like, oh. Every time she'd go by, it's like this hummingbird just. And I'm like, oh, your chaos is internal. But it's still what you resonate with. And I told her, I need you to be early. Okay, I'll be early. And she never did get early. And I would say, what, you know, didn't we talk about this? Oh, yeah. I had 20 more minutes, and I did the dishes. I'm like, see, you are recreating your normal. Some of us need a new normal because our normal needs to not look like the world. Our normal needs to be a light that shines, that changes the darkness. And I'm in this sozo. And this lady's like, this chaos is going on. And I'm like, okay, well, Jesus, if I give you chaos, forgave her mom, we did the deliverance stuff. If I give you chaos, what will you give me in exchange? And she says, yeah, he just gave me peace. I'm like, that's the right answer. Why are you not excited? She says, peace isn't powerful. I'm like, this is awesome. Because God just said last night, it's powerful. It's not powerful. And so I'm thinking, because I know the sozo tools, I'm thinking maybe there was no one in her life that had peace, so she doesn't have any example of what it's like to have peace. So I said, is there anyone in your life that was peaceful? Oh, yeah, my dad had great peace. And I'm like, that's not how this works. You know, I know sozo. This is not how this works. I said, well, tell me about that. She goes, oh, yeah, my dad would come into the room. Chaos is everywhere. And he would come into his room, and it never changed anything. And I'm like, oh, your dad had a peace bubble. But his peace bubble never changed the situation. Church, stop living in your peace bubble. We need to release the power of peace into a crazy world. But you know what happens is when we try, we get shot down. And so we just conglomerate together where we agree with each other. And we polarize. And we have a world that is dying in darkness. But your peace is not to be passive. It's to be powerful. And then when she said that, my brain went to the disciples on the boat. They say to Jesus, "Jesus, don't you care? We're going to drown." And my brain is thinking, oh, I see what they're saying. For the first time, I saw it from the perspective of the lens she was wearing. Jesus, in your peace bubble, don't you care? We are going to drown. And then my brain goes into, and you can walk on water, so I know you're okay. But Peter tried it, didn't work out too well. We're going to drown. Jesus, peace bubble. What does he do? He gets up and he speaks to the storm. He releases his peace, the power of peace, to the storm. And then I thought, I better find some verses that resonate with this word. As a prophetic person, you really need to make sure you're hearing God, right? And not somebody else. So I thought, I'm going to look up some verses with peace. Yes, we see it with Jesus. He gets up and he says, "Hush, be still," or "Peace, be still," depending on which version. And I love it because then the disciples are like, who is this that the winds and waves obey him? They were more afraid. I know Bill Johnson says, and it's completely true, that the reason why Jesus could calm the storm is because the peace inside of him was greater than the chaos outside. But we think the chaos is coming at us. It's coming. It won't stop. Stand up and release his peace. And then I read, blessed are the peacemakers. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And in my brain and in my lens of a peacemaker, I think a peacekeeper. I think someone that doesn't rock the boat. I think of someone that's like, yeah, you're wrong, but you know, I'm just not going to speak up because I'm going to keep the peace. That does not mean that. When I look at that, this word, which I cannot pronounce, is used one time in Scripture. It's 1518 in the concordance. And when you look at, right in the same place where they say that word, they say the next cognate. It says to make peace, which you think, oh, he's going to make peace. But it means this. Properly, it's a peacemaker who bravely declares God terms which makes someone whole. Yeah. Blessed are the peacemakers. Those who have the light of the world that stand up and shine their light into the world of darkness. Yeah. So people say, there's hope. Yeah. I don't know why I'm saying this. Maybe someone needs to hear this, but my greatest prophetic word I ever got was from a child. And, you know, I was a school teacher at the time, and I went to Morning Star, and I was hoping to get, you know, Bob Jones or one of those guys, and I get this little kid. I'm like, great, here we go. He's going to practice. You know, but children don't have a junior Holy Spirit, right? So the little kid says to me, I see a banner. I'm like, all right, the banner of the Lord. You know, I know these songs. I've helped in children's church, you know. He goes, no, I see a banner. And it's like you plant this banner in the ground, And there's war all around. And people look to the banner and they rally because there's hope. Oh, it's kind of funny in America, Star Spangled Banner. Oh, say, can you see? The clouds are still, you know, it's like tattered and torn. Our flag is still there. Can you be a banner in the middle of the war where people can say, oh, I'm, oh, wow, I got to go over there. Because somebody's still standing.
That's it.
I need the church to stand.
Yeah.
He wants you to stand. You are a light in this world. And yes, it's awesome to have this great relationship with God where anything that comes at you, you can be at peace. But it's time for us to release our peace into the world. How do we do that? You're going to have to tuck up under the wings of the Holy Spirit. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High abides in the shadow of the Almighty. I think the reason why Peter's shadow healed is because he was under the shadow of the Almighty. I don't think it was Peter's shadow. I think it was God's. Yes, it was Peter's. You with me? You speak in such a way as to make someone whole. It means you don't stand and shout at them, hey, you're going to hell. Can you see that? That doesn't. Received well. I don't know. You're going to have to ask the Lord. How do I stand? Well, I tell you something. The moment you're offended, you will not speak in a way to make someone whole. The moment you're angry, you will not speak in a way to make someone whole. The moment you see their heart, you will know what to say. I raised my boys in the Sozo ministry and shifting of atmospheres. And, you know, the whole thing about identity comes from the Father. If you didn't hear it this morning, you need to get it. And that in my son's teenager now, and he's got all the hormones and all the stuff normal guys have. You know, we taught him that's normal. You know, we deal with the other stuff. And this girl walks by. It's, you know, 120 degrees in Reading. You know they say, when they say, yeah, it was so hot, you could fry an egg on the sidewalk? Reading. You could fry an egg on the sidewalk. It's that hot. So she's wearing short shorts, halter top, and she comes bouncing by my son, and I'm just like, oh, boy. And I look at him, and he says, oh, Mama, she just needs her dad to tell her how much he loves her. You shouldn't dress like that. What are you doing? Oh, she needs to know her identity. She doesn't have a dad that tells her she's beautiful. She doesn't have a dad that's for her. She has to get it somewhere else. You speak in such a way as to make someone whole. I think what we need to understand is that it's really fun in our peace bubbles. And it's a little scarier to stand up and speak. And we need to get brave. But we need to ask God, how do I say this so that they hear me? There's a book out. I haven't read it, so it's really funny to be saying it, but I love the title. I've read other books of this guy. He's just a brainiac. It says, Escaping Enemy Mode. And the whole idea is, if you and I are in enemy mode, we cannot hear each other's hearts. So it's like, how do you switch the brain from enemy mode to relational mode? Because in relational mode, even if you disagree with me, I can still love you. Find God's heart for the opposition. And then you will speak in such a way as to make them whole. So we're going to pray. We started out with breaking off discouragement, breaking off the sense of feeling like you're alone. But I want to include this now for anyone who feels like, I have hidden my light in this peace bubble. I have backed down because I have felt attacked when I've spoken truth. And I want you to stand up and we'll pray as a group. Yes, some of you are like, really? Yes. Yes. If you feel like you've been pressured to sit down and shut up because of your belief in Christ or your belief in agendas, then that's why I'm saying stand up, because we're kind of worn out. You know, the enemy's like, if I can keep beating you down enough, or if I can even make laws so that you can't speak truth, that's pretty frustrating, right? So I want you, first of all, just to say out loud, I choose to forgive anyone who has told me to sit down and shut up. And I ask Jesus to forgive me for going back and tucking under my peace bubble and hiding my light in a world that's so, so dark. And I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me if I have come out of my bubble but with a roar instead, because I've been frustrated and angry and I let it go. Jesus, would you reposition me to speak to the storms? Hush, be still. And all of us, Holy Spirit, everyone together, Holy Spirit, give me wisdom how to stand, how to speak, and to see the power of peace invade this crazy world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.